Okay, welcome everyone. Today we have three goals. Goal number one is simply to learn about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Do we know anything about him yet?
Yeah.
Not. So we know a little bit. Maybe we learned the Gemara. We heard the Gemara. We know there's something going on in Meron on Thursday. But we're going to see the Gemara inside. After we learn a lot about his life and where he came from, and then what led up to Gemara Shabbos, Lama Gimel Mabez. I had never learned the Gemara really inside until this year. I just heard about it. So we're going to... I hope I made enough copies. We'll go through the Gemara. You know, Gemara 10:30 at night. Good for us. It's the end of the year. It's Kai Tzman. We've made it this far. We can learn Gemara late at night. And from there, we'll develop one level deeper from the Gemara. And then the last thing we'll do is we'll prepare for Thursday. We'll give ourselves a little bit of a... I'm going to get on a bus. I'm going to arrive in Meron, and it's going to be... So what do we do? What are you on Thursday? Me too. I also am going to do the same thing. So, if you could make the bus earlier, please, I'd appreciate it. 2 hours earlier, have some push. Okay, let's roll. Okay. So, just a little bit of history first. When did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai live and die in the years of the world? Who knows?
1,000 years ago?
About, right? He died in the year 160. Which means he was probably born in the first 100 years of this past 2,000 years. Okay? That's numero uno. What was going on 2,000 years ago?
Romans,
what were they doing?
Destroyed
the Beis HaMikdash right before Reb Shimon, right? How long before?
7 years.
Who witnessed? Who was Reb Shimon's Rebbe?
Rebbe
Kiva, right? What did Rebbe Kiva witness? Did he witness the destruction?
The
or right after?
That's
it. Right after, right? And he was on the... He was in Harbaya, saw the foxes, right? So let's get the picture of the time. The Jews have been in Israel. Second Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. Christianity is just beginning at this time. Right? That's 2,000 years ago. What's 2,000 years? Since like Jesus' birth or death, whatever they kind of... It wasn't where it was, right? So that's that moment. The Jews are crushed. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. We have not yet been kicked out of Israel. But we're close to it. We're in a very, very rough place. In all of Jewish history... One of the deepest places we ever are. Right? Moments later, we're kicked out of Israel. Just before Reb Shimon was born, or maybe when he was a child, was the Bar Kokhba revolt, where the Jews were in such a low place, and Rabbi Kiva's Rebbe was behind it, and the Jews can rise up, and we can get our own country back, etc. Maybe we'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach, etc. Crushed. Bar Kokhba revolt. Was he a false messiah? I don't know, Rabbi Kiva was behind him. The Jews, tens of thousands of Jews killed, not even buried. That's how bad it was. Beitar, right? That was what happened in Beitar. Haruge Beitar. And it is into this world that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was born. And he was born in the Galil, so not too far from Meron. And he started off as a student, not with Rabbi Akiva, but who else were around at those times? We know all these names in the Mishnayos, but it was actually a real time with real people who actually lived. So Rabbi Yehuda was also a student, same time as him. But the Nasi of that time was Rabbi Gamliel. Gamliel was a strong, led with an iron fist. He lived in, where the Sanhedrin was in?
Yavne.
Great, he lived in Yavne. KVY, right? We're going from yeshiva to yeshiva. We got Beitar, we got KVY. We'll see where we get to. Yeshiva Hezer Tzfat, which is near Meron. Okay, fine.
Shraga.
Very good. So that was where Gamliel was. There was another tzaddik at that time who also was buried in the cemetery in Sfat, next to Rizal, etc., down the hill, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel were the Gedolei Hador. Rabbi Gamliel was a strong guy, iron will. His Indian was like, make sure no one separates. We got Christianity's bubbling. We need to have one unified people. Rabbi Yeshua was a soft guy. He was into Svaras. He was into his own style of learning, totally different worlds. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai grew up with these two tzaddikim as his Rebbeim. And then Rabbi Akiva rises to the stage. Right? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai were probably in the same base matters, learning as Talmidim when they were learning, and then all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva became his Rebbe. Right? You guys know the very important story in Brachos, where Rabbi Gamliel embarrasses Rabbi Yeshua in front of everybody? Do we know this? It's an important Gemara. No. If you know this Gemara, it's not for today. We could talk about it another time, perhaps. But it's a huge machlokas that happened in Klai, so Rabbi Gamliel gets up and a student once asked, you know, is Marav Rishus or Chovah? You have to have Marav, you have to have Marav. And Rabbi Yeshua Paskind, it's Rishus, it's optional. Rabbi Gamliel Paskind, you have to. And in Shir, in front of the whole tzibor in the Beis HaMedrash, Rabbi Gamliel says, who disagrees with me? And he makes sure, he says, Yeshua, stand up. And he basically embarrasses Rabbi Yeshua in front of the entire Beis Medrash. They kick Rabbi Gamliel out ultimately of being the Nasi. That's when Melazman Azariah comes in. Harini Kiven Shem Shana, we see on the Pesach Seder. Why did he need to get hired as the Nasi? Because Rabbi Gamliel was kicked out. And you couldn't put Rabbi Yeshua, it wasn't nice to Rabbi Gamliel. So who are you going to find? They got Melazman Azariah. That's where that story comes from. Who asked that original question of his Mar of Rishas Archova? Who instigated the whole Melchama? Shim Baruch Hai. A little Talmud. Probably just Shimon. Shimmy. It's probably Shimmy at that point. Asks his Kasha, incites the biggest war in the Beis Medrash. Nebuch. That's where it comes from. Then Rabbi Shimon finds Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a rising star. There's a whole story for another time. We could do Rabbi Akiva one week. He becomes Rabbi Akiva after so many years. And Rabbi Shimon learns by him for 13 years. Okay? So Rabbi Akiva for 13 years in the Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Akiva, he was absolutely loved his Rabbi Akiva. So much so that Rabbi Akiva only gave smicha to two students. One of them was Rabbi Meir and one of them was Rabbi Shimon Baruch Hai. And once Rabbi Akiva once said to Rabbi Shimon Baruch Hai, he said to him, he said, you should know, like, Rabbi Meir is like my favorite Talmud. And like, there's nothing worse than hearing that, right? You think you're the guy, and then crushed. Rabbi Shimon was crushed. And he told Rabbi Akiva, he was like, yo, I'm crushed. Like, you really killed me. And Rabbi Akiva responded to him. He said, listen. He said, you know that me and Hashem are the only two people in the world, the only two beings that know how great you are. That's what he said to Rabbi Shimon. Trying to like appease him a little bit. He's like, you should know. I know I said Rabbi Meir, I like more, but no one in the world understands how great you are except for me and Hashem. Like that's what he said when he was like a student still, before the cave. That's before the cave. And okay, it happens one day, and I think it's time to pull it out. Hold on. Let's see. It is. That the way it happened was once Rabbi Akiva, as you guys know the story, I told you this is the worst times ever, right? Eventually, Peter ben Bava, everyone stabbed, everyone's killed Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva's flesh is combed from his body. So at one point, the Romans captured him. They threw him in jail. And what do you do if your Rebbe's in jail?
Go to see him.
You know what do you do?
You go to see him.
You go to see him. You can't get to a Roman jail. Shimon Bar Yochai's father had connections. He protects you. He says to his dad, get me into jail. So he gets Rabbi Shimon into jail, and Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Akiva, please keep teaching me Torah. I can't stop learning from him. Rabbi Akiva says, no, get out of here. I'm put in jail for teaching Torah. Like, get up. And Rabbi Shimon says, kind of as a joke, he says, if you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to tell my father to get the Romans to get you into more trouble. They could torture you. That's how badly he wanted it from his Rebbe. He wanted to hear it so badly from his Rebbe. He wasn't serious, obviously. But the Seder. So let's jump in. Let's give these out. This is where the story comes from. Here, do you want to pass these this way? This is the setting of the Gemara. That whether you heard it or not, we're seeing it inside now. Is the lighting good enough for everybody to see? Some water. Share a cup, you know. Let's read this Gemara inside. We'll read it relatively quickly. But this is the central Gemara. What daf is it on? Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel Ba'omer. Everything is about Lamed Gimel. 33 is the code for Reb Shimon. On the back of his jersey in high school, he had a number 33. What?
51
and Rabbi Meir Yerzer
the same week.
Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir Yerzer the
same week.
Yeah, right. That was yesterday or something?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday, unbelievable, right? Reb Shimon and Rabbi Meir died the same week. Unbelievable. Here we go. You guys ready? We're going to go through it quickly. Let us find it. Okay. So the Gemara begins, and look at the last word in the line. It's probably 10 lines down into the wider lines. The last word in the line is Ve'amai. Mm-hmm. If anybody doesn't have it, let me know. Everybody has it? Here we go. Ve'amai kar le'rosh medavrin. The Gemara is asking Rabbi Yehuda, why is he called the number one speaker? In all places. The Yasvi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, V'yasvi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Geira, Gabayu. Everybody's sitting together. Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Geira is there as well. Pasach, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda opens up his mouth first. Amar kama noim maseim shel umazu. Rabbi Yehuda gets up, and this is the Gemara is answering. He spoke first. That's why he's called the first speaker. He says, how amazing are the Romans? That's what umazu is. These people, the Romans, this nation. Tiknu shvakim, tiknu gisharim, tiknu merchatzos. They built bathhouses. They built bridges. I need the Madura. Can't see anything. Tiknum bathhouses. Unbelievable. They're the greatest people. They built shuks. They built marketplaces. Thanks, Ethan. Aha. Beautiful. Rabbi Yossi sitting there, also a student of Rabbi Akiva. Shasak. Doesn't say a word. Nena Rishim Bar Yochai. Rashbi gets up. Amar Komash Tignu. Lo Tignu Al Tzarech Atzman. Rabbi Shimon. The strong personality. Everything they made is just for themselves. Tignu Shvakim. Lahoshivem Zonos. Oh, Rabbi Yudo, you think they made bathhouses because they're so nice? And by the way, you go around Israel. This is the coolest thing. Go around Israel, you see what the Romans built when they were here. You've been to the little city? You've seen the Cardo? You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. The Romans built that. That was a marketplace. That was what we're talking about. Right? Those pillars, those big pillars you see when you're going down into the Jewish quarter. That's what we're talking about here. So why did they build marketplaces? So they could have prostitutes walking around. And they could make business that way. Merchatzos, bathhouses, adhein b'hem atzman, because they wanted to enjoy bathhouses as the Roman army was here. Yisharim, litzol me'em meches. They built bridges they could take taxes from us. So that's Rabbi Shimon, outburst. What do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda? They're not good people. They're horrible, the Romans. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siper divrayim v'nishmeu l'malchus. The Romans found out, based on this guy, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, whether he told them or he was just gossiping and the word got out. Amru Yehuda she'ila yisala. Yehuda said that they're good. He'll be lifted up. They gave him benefits. Yossi shasak. Yossi, who didn't say anything, didn't stand up for the covet of the Romans, were sending him to exile in Sipori. Shimon, Shegina, Yeharig. Shimon, that disgraced the Romans, disgraced Rome, the greatest empire in the world, we're going to kill him. Azalhu, Bray, Tashu, Be Midrasha, Koyoma. Havu, Maisi, Le, Divisu, Rifta, Vakuza, Demai, Vakarki. They went immediately and they hid in the Beis HaMedrash, and they had Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's wife, him and his son, they went to the Beis Medrash, they're Chavrusas, you can't go there to Chavrusa. And by the way, Rav Shimon's son didn't do anything. So you have to realize that Chiddush. Why is he going with him? What is he hiding for? Let's go, keep it about. Also, when you get such a good, you learn this now, when you get such a good Chavrusa, you go with him wherever he goes. You know, like, goes to, he's hiding, you go with him. So fine, Rav Shimon's wife is bringing them food and water. Kitagiv Gzerasa, when the Gzeros got stronger and they really were searching for him, Amrle the Bray, Rav Shimon said to Rabbi Lazar, his son, Noshim Daitan Kala Aleihem. Women, they're not so strong-minded. They're a little bit emotional. Dilma Mitzari La Umegal Yalun. Maybe they're going to torture her and she'll reveal where we are in the Beis Medrash. So Azlu Tosh Marasa. Then they went to the cave. Tzrachish Nisa, a miracle happened. Ibri Lu Charuva, a carob tree grew, Ve'ena Demaya, and a little stream. Havu Meshalchi Minayu, Havu Yasri Ad Savarayu, and they would take off their clothes. They would get into the sand, up into their necks. Kule Yoma, Garsi, Be'idan. They would learn, sorry, Kule Yoma, Garsi. All day they would learn. With their necks up until their head in the sand. Now, what are they learning? They don't have Sfarim. Were there any Sfarim written there? Not really. It's not, yeah, the Chumash, Tanakh. So what are they learning? By the way, how many years were they in the cave for, in total?
12.
In total?
13.
How many years did I say he was learning about Bikiva for? 13, which I found to be quite interesting. Cool. So every single day they were deepening and deepening and deepening. They weren't necessarily learning more, they were going down. Right? It's a funny coincidence, they happened to have their bodies in the ground. Right? But they were just going deeper and deeper and deeper into what they already knew.
Chazar.
Right? That's what they were learning. They were learning the soul of everything they had already heard. No new books, no new anything to hear. Okay. So when it was time to daven, he didn't salute, love shu mixu umatzlu. When it's time to daven, they would get out of the cave, they would get out of the sand, stand up, put on their clothing, and daven. Now, why did they take off their clothes? They didn't want to get ruined. Because 13 years in a cave, putting on clothes, they don't get ruined. But if you can learn with your body covered in sand, why can't you daven? So, no, it's al hakasha, it's teretz. Kavod tefillah. It's not because they had to, it's because they wanted to get covered for davening. That's how. Whether it means you put on a jacket or you look nice for tefillah, whatever it is, this is unbelievable. They unbury themselves from sand 3 times a day and rebury themselves just so they could look bekavodik for davening. They didn't have to. Fine. Hadar Meshachin, they would take their clothes back off, get back in the sand. Keichi delo livlu Isvu Treis Arshani. So they want the clothes to get ruined, fine. 12 years passed, the Marasa. And all 12 years they were learning with Eliyahu Navi in the cave as well, by the way. Right? So now here comes Eliyahu Navi. Us Eliyahu. Eliyahu comes, he gets up at the end of the day, 12 years. We come a piska the Marasa, he's standing at the edge of the cave. Amar man Ludai Libar Yochai, the mace caser butthub Zerasa. Who's gonna tell Shimon that the Caesar died? That the Xerah to kill him is done. Nafku, they got out of the cave. Chazu inshi the karvi vizroi. They found someone plowing and planting and planting seeds. Amar manich and chayi olam uskin v'chayi shah. You can imagine they came out of this with more intensity than the guy coming out of Shana Bet. And they leave the cave and he sees someone plowing. He's like, can you imagine someone's plowing the field? What, for food? What about eternal life? Komakam shnosim einayim miyad nisraf. And obviously, we're modern Orthodox Jews. We've seen movies before. No Jew sees this and doesn't say the word laser eyes. And I'm laser, you know, it's a nickname for me. If Shimon had laser eyes, he burns everything he saw. Everywhere they look, they burn to ashes with their eyes. That's what happened when they left the cave. Yotza bas kol v'amr lehem. Lehachrev olami yotzasem. Chizun marascham. Hashem says, what are you doing? You learn in the cave, so from now, you're burning everything? Is that what you do when you learn? You burn everything? I want you to burn my world? Chizun marascham, get back into the cave. Hadar azul, they got back into the cave. Ais v'treisa yarchi, 12 more months. Shasa ami mishpat rishon begehenim, people are gehenim for 12 months. Okay, beseder, yotza bas kol v'amr tzumi marascham. Now the bas comes out and says, you may leave the cave. Nafku, they got out. Kolechad havamachi, Rabbi Lazar havamasi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar, for some reason, still had laser eyes. Was still ruining things. But everything that he destroyed, Rabbi Shimon would fix. Omar lo b'ni dai lo olam anivata. Rabbi Shimon says to his son, ah, Rabbi Lazar, me and you, the world, all it needs is me and you. Bahari pani de mala shabsa. Then they passed the Jew who was getting ready for Shabbos. They saw this Jew daven naked, trei midane asa, v'ra ben hashmashos, and he was holding some hadassim for Shabbos, and they said lamacha. Okay, we'll scroll up in the story. Lamacha amar leu lechavet Shabbos. He says I'm holding these chavet Shabbos. They said nu v'tizgi lecha bechad. Why don't you just hold one hadass for the chavet Shabbos? Keneged zachor bechad keneged shemor. Hold on. So nu isn't one enough. So the guy says, look, one zachor, one shemor. You need two. Amar le the brain. Now already you see Reb Shimon, different human being. Goes into the cave. Before to the cave, he's one person. He gets out of the cave, burns everything with his eyes. Goes back in for a year, and listen to how he changes. He says to his son, Kama chavivin mitzvos al Yisrael. How beloved are the mitzvos in Klal Yisrael. How loving Reb Shimon becomes. Yasid atayu, they were relaxed. Shemar pichas binyar, pichas yar chasani, his son-in-law. Benafik la'ape. And he goes to meet Reb Shimon when he left the cave. Alebe banya, they go to a bathhouse. Havakarich le the bistra. Reb Pinchas ben Yair was helping Reb Shimon's physical health get back to normal. Chazidav be pile be gufe. He saw his skin was all cracked. Havakabach, he was crying. Kanasu dimas eine v'kametzavchale, and his tears were hitting his father-in-law's back, his cracked skin, and it was killing Reb Shimon. It was hurting so much. Because the tears are hitting his cracked skin. And Reb Shimon says, and Reb Pinchas ben Yair says, by the way, who's Reb Pinchas ben Yair? What do you write? He wrote the Sulam of Aliyah that Mesilas Shabbos is based on. So it was either him or his grandfather, they're both named Pinchas ben Yair. But that's what Mesilas Shabbos is based on, the Sulam of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. Just to know who he is. What? That's Rosh Lach. Correct. Interesting. Okay, fine. So he says, "Oh, Yelisha, receive the kach." He says to his father-in-law, "I feel agnebach that I'm seeing you like this. You look terrible." And here's the new Reb Shimon. Amar le, Ashrecha, Shereisi bekach. Right? Should we send it? Unbelievable! It's so amazing that you see me like this. Shemali le, send bekach. L'matzasa bekach demeikara. Right, no, you know, if you hadn't seen me like this, what would you know? And then I'll just summarize a little bit here. He says in the beginning, I would ask you a kasha, you'd have 12 answers. Now you have a kasha, I can give you 24. Basically, because my body is cracked, because I look terrible, because I was molded my goof, I uplifted to unbelievable heights. Okay, and we're gonna summarize a few lines. Rav Shimon then says, okay, a miracle happened for me. I need to do something back. A nace happened for Yaakov Avinu. I should also do something good. And Yaakov did something good for the year of Shalem. So, okay. I don't know. The year of Shalem, Yaakov, Shalem. Okay, he did something good. So what am I going to do? So the bottom line. Rav Shimon asks people, you know, what can I do? So, the bottom line, he asked people, they respond, and look, there's a place, there's a marketplace, a road, where there's a suffix tumor. On the next daf, Lamedal. Vishlutzal kohanim, and the kohanim nebuch, lakufe, they can't go, they have to go all the way around this street, a very long journey, because they don't know if there's tumor on the street. Amar ika inish diyadi, the schazik, hachatar, basically, just to continue on this gemara, Rav Shimon then figures out, you know, okay, maybe there was a chazaka, that there was no one here, that was dead. You know, they remember Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would eat truma in this place, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was a kohen. And basically, Rabbi Shimon says, "Okay, this place is tahor." Now, skip down. You see, like the funny circle thing. That's five lines down. The last one line is Amar. Amar Hausaba, an old guy around, says, "Tir Rabbi Yochai bezakvaris." He's mocking Rabbi Shimon. Oh, Bar Yochai or Ben Yochai, doesn't say his first name. Oh, he's metayer a cemetery. Amar Rabbi Shimon says, "Mali lo hisa imanu." He says, you're challenging me in such a way in public. That's how a Talmud Chacham treats somebody else. You weren't even, you know, you were with me in this moment. Better had you not been with me and not seen what I did, but you're challenging me in front of everybody. He says, even prostitutes, says Rav Shimon, prostitutes help each other get their makeup on. That's what he says. They're all hanging out together before they get out and do their work. Even they help each other get their makeup on. Now, what does that mean? They're competition. You're going to help your competition? But Rav Shimon says, you're a Talmud Chacham, and you're challenging me. Because, it's a competition. Even prostitutes will help each other. Mamish bashes this guy. So what's next? It's not enough to just rock him in public. Look what he says. Yav ba'ene, Rav Shimon looks at him, v'nuch nafshe, kills him. Not laser eyes, just gives him the look. Dead. Nafak l'shuka. What?
Raises his eyebrows.
Like Reb Shaila. Oh, very good. Well, he didn't kill him. He just almost killed him. All right. Nafak l'shuka. The guy goes out. Reb Shimon goes out. The guy's dead. He's not going anywhere. Nafak l'shuka. Chazi l'Yehuda ben Gerim. Ah! Who's Yehuda ben Gerim? The guy who maybe ratted him out. Is Mahogas actually in Tysus? If he ratted him out or he just gossiped and then it got out by mistake. But let's assume he ratted him out according to this pshat. Omar. Rav Shimon says, after he sees this guy, Rav Shimon Gerim, Adayim Yish Lazeh Ba'olam, this thing is still in the world. Nasan Bo'enav. Rav Shimon looks at him. How do you think it's going to end? The Asahu Gal Shalat Samos, and turns into a pile of bones. Rav Shimon looks at him, Rav Shimon Gerim, the guy he told on him, looks at him with his eyes, pile of bones. I don't know if that look even looks like that. Can't stop smiling. I got it. Find menacing. Pile of bones. Why is one guy a pile of bones and why is one guy just dead? No, good shot. What do you say? I'll save it for later. If you still care about the question, ask me tomorrow. The Ben Yishchai is a nice shot. That's smart. So this is the story of Rav Shimon. We'll keep going in the rest of his life, and then we'll talk about his gemara for a moment. You know, Yeah. Just to continue, so this is where it goes. And Rav Shimon's out on the loose. He's a different human being, different guy. He moves to a place called Tekoa. Who's heard of Tekoa?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, new?
It was on Nungimel about the Zaytim or was it?
Correct. Tekoa is where they got the oil from. Where from?
It's in Yehudah.
It's in Yehudah, right? Nachon? It's in the Gush, correct? It's where Joseph Zinger lives, everybody knows him, my Rebbe. It's a wonderful, and my cousin Eitan Fold is there, nice place. And that's where they had to go to. Why did it take 8 days to get Shemen on Hanukkah? To Tekoa. That's where all the olives were. Exactly, beautiful. So Reb Shimon's there in Tekoa for many years, moves back up north. Just a couple cool things about Reb Shimon. One time, there's a Gzeira on the Jews again, Emperor wasn't happy with us. They sent Reb Shimon to go help things with the emperor, and the emperor's daughter Nebuch had a dibuk. You know what a dibuk is? Very cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like a zombie where he like doesn't eat. And
it's like a zombie. Yeah, there's enough of these horror movies that come out. He had a demon. She had a demon inside her. She when comes, does an exorcism. You know, gets the thing out of what?
Yeah.
It's a movie with Montesquieu in it. Very good. Right? And so Shimon did it first. Pulls the D-book out of the girl. Shalom Yisrael. And that's how they solved the problem. A couple more quick mices. Rav Shimon, a couple once came to Rav Shimon. A very beautiful story. A couple once came to Rav Shimon. And they said, we're not able to have any kids. And it's been 10 years. So the din is really, you're allowed to get divorced after 10 years of having kids. So Rav Shimon says, okay. So they said, oh, we think we should get divorced, but we don't know what to do. Rav Shimon says, okay, fine, but if you know when you get divorced, make a big celebration to celebrate. You got married with a celebration, get divorced with a celebration, make a big party. So they make a big party. This is the Medrash in Shirshim. Make a big party, and the husband is pretty drunk, and he says to his wife, he's like, look, as a parting gift, you can take anything you want with you when you leave to your father's house. So she picks him up and takes him. And they go back to Rav Shimon, and they say, look, you know, clearly we're still very, you know, we don't want to get divorced. And Rav Shimon says, okay, fine, stay married. Yeah, I'm suddenly a baby like 9 months later. It's a good like modern day mindset, but it really happened with Rav Shimon. You know, it's like, again, he did it first. Another good mindset. One thing to know about Rav Shimon was, as I was saying to you, Rabbi Kiba was a unique learner, so was Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon did something, and this is important in halacha, was called Dorish Taima Dekra. Heard of that phrase ever? That means that Rav Shimon would decide halacha based on what he thought the Pesukim meant, his own Svara. Not like, it doesn't matter if Messiah or whatever, he had a Svara based on the way he understood the Pesukim, he would define halacha based on that. It's very important because we're not Dorish Taima Dekra. But sometimes you can follow Rav Shimon and be Dorish time at the Krah, to learn based on the Svaras and Paskin that way. Rav Shimon was, when we spoke about Rabbi Nachman, we didn't talk that much about it, but how much he like praised his own self. Nachman thought that he was the Tzaddik Yisod Olam. The whole world relies on him. Rav Shimon, same thing. In fact, interesting, when do people go to Meron?
Lagomer.
When else? When? Upshir and Tachon. What day of the year, though, specifically? Zion Adar. Who can tell me why? Who can tell me why?
Same soul, right?
Exactly. Yeah, same neshama went from Moshe Rabbeinu, Reb Shimon, Reb Nachman. It's the same.
Arizal.
I don't know. It did, and the Arizal also. Let's say five, right? The tzaddikim yisodol. These pillars held up the world. So Reb Shimon would say to his son, he said, "The whole world is me and you. The whole world is me and you." That's what he would say to him. He meant that for real. We are the whole world. And he even said, "Ani echol leftor." It's basically kolam kul min adim. Like the whole world can be sinners. Me and my son have the power that even if the whole world are Rishayim, we can make the whole world be Rachamim. That's how powerful. And remember what we said in the beginning, Rabbi Kiva said, only me and Hashem know how strong you are. It's like he's like an unbelievable like spiritual superhero that you can't even imagine. Rabbi Shimon was a superhero. One crazy thing that ever happened, there was never a rainbow in Rabbi Shimon's lifetime. His entire life had a single rainbow. Why not? Hashem would never destroy the world if Rav Shimon was alive in it. Not even have a Hava Amina. He never destroyed the world ever because he promised not. He never had a Hava Amina to destroy the world because Rav Shimon was alive. In fact, there's a great maestro that I think it was Rabbi Shimon Levi. When Rabbi Shimon Levi died, he went up to Shemayim and he saw Rav Shimon there resting on 13 gold thrones. I don't know why I need 13. You know, how many seats can you sit on? I don't know. 13
years.
13. Interesting. Not bad. Well, what's he switching off seats? Maybe different kinds of thrones? Okay. Rav Shulin says, "Nu, what's going on? How you doing over here?" And Rav Shimon's like testing him. Right? Rav Shimon's in Gan Eden, and Rav Shimon, he's like checking, like, are you good enough to like be in my zone with my chevra? And Rav Shimon asks, what's his test? Did you ever see a rainbow in your lifetime? And Rav Shulin says, yes. He says, okay, so you're not, this is not for you. It's not for you. What? Everything, what I'm saying?
Yeah,
everything I'm saying is from Gemara's, what?
The rainbow thing.
Gemara is Midrashim. And I didn't even go, I wanted to say in the beginning, I forgot to mention, we're only getting a taste. I didn't open a single Zohar. Right? And you can imagine the whole thing's about him. It's his book. So, this shows you, we're just like from our place, we're tasting what Rav Shimon's about. Okay? So, okay, that's a little more. It's an unbelievable story about his Rebbe. There's a Machogas once, about a certain din in Tumantara. And everyone was saying, oh, Rabbi Akiva said this, but maybe he went back on it later in his life. So Rabbi Shimon was in the area. And there's Mahalik, if he went back or no, does he still hold that this thing is Tameh? Rabbi Shimon was in the area. And Rabbi Shimon, the question was really if a certain amount of blood can combine to count as the right amount of blood for Tumah. Rabbi Shimon was there, and he kind of said sarcastically, and somebody were saying, yeah, Rabbi Akiva went back on what he said originally. Rabbi Shimon's like, if you can prove to me that Rabbi Akiva went back on it after he died, then great, you could pass him that way. Like, that's kind of how he said it sarcastically. Which, because he was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and he said, like, he didn't go back on it. But the way that he said it bothered him so much that he fasted to do tshuva for that comment so many times that his teeth turned black, says the Gemara. And we know that there were three times in his life that he fasted for 40 days straight. Rabbi Shimon. That's not even with the carob. The carob, fine, he had to live for 13 years in the cave. Hashem said, okay, you can eat a little bit. But there were three different times fasting for 40 days straight. And we'll fast forward a little bit to the day of Rishon Mordechai's death. Some say the whole Zohar was written on the day that he died. But the Idra Zuta, at least, was written certainly the day that he died. There's a couple of people gathering there. It was an extremely mysterious day. It was Lag BaOmer. And at one point, Rabbi Shimon says to everybody around him, like, do you see, like... Or he started speaking to someone. And no one knew what he was talking about. He was speaking with Achia HaShiloni. He was from Tanakh. He was the Baal Shem Tov's Rebbe also. And he was speaking to Achia HaShiloni, and he was invisible. Rabbi Shimon comes in conversation with an invisible person right in front of everybody else. And after that, they needed more time to, like, share the Torah that he needed to share on the day of his death. So he did what Rabbi Yeshua did, and he held the sun in the sky. That day was more than 24 hours. And you'll see Lag BaOmer, it'll feel like it's like a whole month. Thursday night. It's going to feel like it's more... Like, you don't sleep on Lag BaOmer. You dance until the morning. Right? I would say it's a bit of a remez to the fact that Rav Shimon held the sun still on his last day of life. So, that day of his life, Rav Shimon said, is the Hilula. What does the Hilula mean? How do you translate the word Hilula?
It's a wedding.
Correct. Wedding. What in the world does it mean there's a wedding on the day of his death? Or why is it a day of Simcha? A yahrzeit, there's a custom to fast on the day of a yahrzeit.
It brings everybody together.
Oh, that's what happens at a wedding, right. So, let's just jump back in but to the Gemara for one second. You don't have to look at the sheet. But what happened with Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon, 12 years in the cave. What did he do in the cave?
Steig.
Deepen, learn with Eliyahu HaNavi, learn all the Torah of Kabbalah, every single thing, learn the Nistar, the Sod of all of existence. Everything in the Zohar was learned then. So, and he brought that down. And it was because he reached an unbelievable level of godliness, right? He was basically in Olam Haba. What's the difference between us and Olam Haba right now? What are they doing there? They're probably learning. Probably davening.
Close to Hashem.
Close to Hashem, right?
Know everything.
But what are they not doing? They're not eating.
They're not physical.
They're not physical, right? They're in the Olam HaMS of just spirituality. Rav Shimon was as close to a human being can get to spirituality. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu also did it when he went to Shemayim. But Rav Shimon did it for 13 years. Barely eating anything but carobs, and carobs are disgusting. Right? But the Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael, Tu B'Shvat here, you don't have to eat dry fruit because you can eat fresh fruit. Now, you don't eat dry fruit in this day and age. You eat fresh fruit from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shimon ate carobs and water, basically not eating. His body basically broke. He was cold, cool, and neshama, except for a tiny drop that he was still around. And so what happens? He leaves the cave. He comes from the Olam HaMS. And he says, this is the Alma D'Shukah. The whole world is fake. What are you doing? Burns the world. Hashem says, get out of here. You missed the point. Get back in the game. Comes out again. And what is his attitude when he comes out?
What's beautiful?
If you define it in one word, right? Ashrecha. Ashrecha, Ashreinu, Ashreichem, Kama Chavivin. Everything he says is beautiful. You're a beautiful Jew because you did a mitzvah. You're a beautiful Jew because you're keeping Shabbos. You're beautiful because you get to see me and how much I love Torah. And throughout Shas, Rav Shimon saying Ashrecha to everybody. Comes out as the most beautiful, loving person after being the most intense, fiery, laser vision burning murderer. Blew up the world. But then he becomes this guy that's so in love. And why is that? Because at first he thought that Panemius means that everything is fake. Who did we learn about that had this sort of same perspective? That the whole world is just a lie.
The Kutzker.
Yeah. Right? He came out like the Kutzker. Burnt, remember when we described the Kutzker, he burned everything with his eye. You come to the Kutzker, he burned you. Shimon comes out like the Kutzker. But then he goes back in. And he realizes that Panemius doesn't mean everything is fake, but what does it mean? It means that everything deep down is magnificent. It's beautiful. You have to look even deeper than the fakeness to the place that's even deeper. The beauty of a Jew. And that's why at first he's so mad when he comes out. And then it's not so different. It's probably this. It could have even been like this guy's brother. You know, he could have been plowing and bringing Sadasim home for Shabbos. And he sees, oh my, unbelievable. How beautiful is a Jew. And Torah Snistar, Panemius HaTorah, which Reb Shimon was the, you can't say he's the founder of, but he could say he's like, what's a better word for the, he's not a founder. What would he say?
Transmitter.
Better. Give me an awesome word. No, because we need a verb, like the verb guy. Maybe the director of Panemius. Why not? That's what that be. That's your job. Ethan Adler, director of Panemius.
Ambassador,
director.
Chief.
Right, what did he do? He went from understanding one thing and brought it to the world. And that, if you look at the Zohar, and I have negative experience, but Emir Hashem, we will grow. And we will learn more Zohar as time goes on, because Reb Shimon himself said, Begos Sefraya, with this book, Yafkun Min Galusa. This is how we're getting out of Galus. Almost every Sephardi knows that. Right? They learn the Zohar a lot more than Ashkenazim. But that's Mamish what he said, with this Sefer, with the Zohar HaKadosh, that is how we're going to get out of Galus. And you don't have to say Dafku with the Zohar, because it came to the Zohar, to the Rizal, to the Baal Shem Tov, to the Torah Chassidus, which is based on the Zohar. Everything, all these candles around this Medura, that's why Dafku put them around specifically this week. Whether it's the Kutzker, whether it's the Alter Rebbe, whether it's of Cook, whether it's the Pizet the Rebbe, whether it's Refroman, you know, whether it's the Shaila of Kerishtir, whoever it is, the Rishoner, who else do we have here? Reb Nachman, Reb Nassan, etc. All of that came from Reb Shimon. Reb Tzadok, the ambassador of Panemius in the world. Everything, everybody we've learned about it, all came from one man, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And his time in the cave, he brought it down, and that's why there's such a focus. I mean, Chassidus came so much later, but there's such an intense focus on seeing the beauty. Every page of the Zohar is about how much Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. Every page is about that relationship. You won't necessarily see it as much in the Gemara, in the Chumash. You can. There's a lot of punishment, there's a lot of laws, etc. The Zohar is full of Hashem's love for us. It's our relationship. The more close we get to that idea, the closeness we have with Hashem, the depth of our relationship, the fact that we in this room are all one neshama, mamish, and when we get together around the Medura and Lag BaOmer, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, one flame, one people, dancing together, one unification. That's what a wedding is. A wedding is two people coming, one. With Hashem, you guys will get married to beautiful women at the right time with beautiful midos and avas Hashem and everything. And we'll dance at each other's chasnas. But a chasna means a unification. When two people come together. And fine, we'll share one Zohar. I shared this at my engagement party. That before a man and a woman come into this world, before me and my wife came into this world, we were one neshama. And Hashem split us in half, sent us into this world, and said, okay, you go to Chicago, you go to Teaneck, take 25 years, to 23 years, whatever, to grow, mature in your own place, then come back together at the wedding. And now we're back as one. That's what happens. That's not what happens. That's called the Nesira, the separation. Right? Adam and Chava were one, and then Hashem split them. So Klal Yisrael is the same thing. We were one giant neshama, and Hashem split us all up, and we got to get back together. So that is what happens. That is the zchus of Lag BaOmer. I'll say one thing before we get to Thursday. One last thing. And this is a personal chidush. I wanted to say it last year, but we didn't really. Lag BaOmer was different last year. I had no one to say it to, unfortunately. It's sad. What do we say every single morning? Listen to this. You'll never say it the same way again. Believe in the truth. Do remzo, speak to emes in your heart. Yashkim, get up and say, Ribon kol olamim, master of the world, of all the worlds. We have no tzidkus. We're not coming to beg you because we did something right or your mercy. Ma'anu, what are we? We're nothing. Machainu, what are our lives? Mechazinu, what is our chesed? Ma'atzikazinu, we're nothing. Ma'yeshuasinu, ma'gochinu, ma'gochinu, we're nothing. What can we say? Everybody that's strong is ki'ayin, is nothing in front of you. Even Anshe Hashem, they're like nothing. Hachamim are like nothing. Everything, even the biggest tzaddikim, they're nothing. V'mechaim hevel lefanecha. The greatest people, their lives are like nothing, like air in front of you. And we're barely better than animals. That's what we say every single morning. Very intense. But then comes three big letters. What are the next three big letters?
Aval.
But. Anachnu amcha b'nei b'risech. But we are your people. B'nei Avram, where the son of Avram loves you. You swore to Avram. Zer Yitzchak Yichiel, son of Yitzchak, that was by Akeda, and his Yagav Bincha Bechirecha. And we go from where the lowest, we're basically cows, to no gevalt, we're Klal Yisrael. Ashreinu. And Mamish. We have to praise you. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. How amazing is it to be a Jew? Manan gorlinu, how lucky we are. Mayav Yisrael, what is our Yerusha? Like, we get up every day and sing Shema. Unbelievable. That's what we say every single morning. We start as if we're looking at ourselves with the eyes of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We are cows. But Gevalt. Ashreinu, we're Jews. Pre-cave, post-cave. And what is the one word that separates the two? What's Aval and Gematria?
33.
Oh,
my God. Oh. 33. Bag. Reb Shimon taught the world, don't look at the world like the first time I came out of the cave. Of course there's bad things to look at. Of course we're cows. Of course we have Taivas Achila. We demolish the brownies. Of course I love Crave more than I love my own children. Of course I'm a cow. Right?
Cool.
I'm nothing. But give out them at the chakras this morning. Or I didn't, but I davened a good davening b'yachidus. I made a besamim, I made a mezainis, I make an alamechia, I made a bracha on these brownies at least. How many, there's 7 billion people in the world, who makes a bracha on brownies? Just us. It's unbelievable. Look at us, look what we have. Look what we get to be, look what we get to do on a Monday night. Unbelievable. Aval, that's what Reb Shimon says, the world is dark, but give out, light a fire. So what are we doing on Thursday? The night where the sun stands still. And by the way, you don't even realize that it's nighttime because it's so lit up there. Right? In the world, what's the place where the sun doesn't set? Where it's always light?
New York City,
right? You go there, it's like the daytime. So this is Meiron. This is Zeh L'Umazeh. This is the tikkun of New York City. In one day, we can do New York City does it all year. We can fix everything. Shimon said he can fix the whole world, right? Just him. By the way, Yuchab, he's been dead for 2,000 years. And he's bringing 700,000 people to his cavern on Thursday?
That's crazy.
He's been dead for 2,000 years.
That's pretty crazy, yeah.
And you have to realize, he is bringing them. Us. Like, I just had this machshava this morning, like, Be'emes. He's actually bringing us. Like, he's doing it. Well, how else would it have happened? You think, like, everyone decided? No, like, Mamish is doing it. If Shimon's mom is bringing us to him, along with 700,000 other Jews. Like, that's cool. You see how powerful he is. There's no one in the world that can do this. And he does it every single year. And it just grows more and more. Beseder. Thursday. We got a little bit of who Reb Shimon was. We understood the Pella of the Sod. The wonder of what it means to learn Torah Snistar. We'll dive in for ourselves and we'll get there. But I can take a picture and send this to you guys. But this is what I'm going to say in my heart and with my lips when I get to Meiron. And listen to this. I'm going to gather and say, I don't know what this is. There's almost 1 million people here. I don't know what's going on. But I know Reb Shimon was godly. We discussed that. We heard his stories. We read some Gemaras. We know that he was very close to Hashem, maybe more than any other human being ever, except Moshe Rabbeinu. He had this unbelievable closest to Hashem. And I'm going to say the following. I'm going to say, but Hashem, I want you to know, I value this. We need to tell ourselves, I value this. When we go to Meiron, instead of watching a baseball game on Thursday night, when we go to Meiron, why are we going? You know, you don't go on every single Shraga trip, right? What happened to Chol HaMoed? So why are you going? You know, why are you going? And even if, you know, you don't have to go, but let's say you're going. Why are you going? Because you have to get there and say, I value, I don't know what it means to be that close to Hashem, but it's something that I consider to be valuable. And I want it. And I can't beat Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, but I can get closer to him. I can get closer to that model. So I'm coming to Reb Shimon saying, please bring me closer. it's a Rashi that says, you know, how can you be close to Hashem? He's a burning fire. So what's the answer?
Become fire.
No, become close to tzaddikim. That's what Rashi, Sukkim, Rashi, Gemara, etc. We're going to be close to a tzaddik. Rishim Bar Yochai. He was as close to Hashem as it gets. We're going to try and get closer to Hashem. We're coming at Yemei Noah, and we're going to daven and say, Hashem, I want to be closer to you. That's why we're going. I'm coming because I think this is important, and it means something to me, and I want it. And when we're there, whether you go in, look, when I was here, past few times I went to Meron, I didn't go into the, where the kever is. I had been there, like, when I went for Shabbos, like, or when I went the whole weekend, I went earlier in the morning, whatever. I didn't try to get in. I'm not sure I'm going to do it this year or not. You don't have to. It's crazy. It's not impossible. You can get there if you want to. But you don't only have to daven there. You know, there's a certain tefillah that, you know, who said it just now? Whatever. Everybody says this. That it's inside it's ne'ila and outside it's simchas Torah. Right? I think it's from Aaron of Karlin, if I'm not mistaken. The Rishner said this. Well, he was Koy the Rishner. But the Rishner said this. But you can also daven in simchas Torah, guys. So whether you want to go in and have this intense crunched experience in the washing machine of Klal Yisrael when you're in that room, zemashu. But there's such an intense washing machine on the dance floor. There's an avoda in life called dancing. Generally, we don't know how to do it. Lag BaOmer is when you can learn. Grab a Jew's hand, okay? Massive fire in front of you guys. Grab a Jew's hand, close your eyes, and for 20 minutes, just go in the circle with your eyes closed. I guarantee you it'll be a life-changing experience. It'll blow your mind. Because you never knew what could happen. You just close your eyes, and you dance for 20 minutes with your eyes closed. And whatever's going on in your head is going on in your head. And you can use those minutes to daven to Hashem. You're surrounded by mikveh Yisrael. You're literally tobling in a mikveh of Jews. You're going to be schwitzing like you never schwitzed before. And most of it's not going to be your own sweat. Unbelievable. Ashreinu. Just get in there and here's my request. You get in there, you're dancing, you're soaking wet. When you reach that point where you think, I don't think I can get wetter than this. Just because like a bead of sweat falls off, you get a new one, like you can't hold that much sweat on your body. When you get to that point where you're so schwitz, especially if you ever don't like schwitzing, you're getting nervous.
Oh my god.
When you get to the, you can also stand in the stands, you can just watch. When you get to that point, and if you don't like the sweat, you just want to watch, you could do it too a different time. When you get to the point of just feeling like you're like just one neshama with Klal Yisrael, and you just look up and yell one word, and you can yell as loud as you want because it's crazy loud music, and everyone, Ashreinu. Yeah, Ashreinu. Look what we get to do, and look who we get to do it with. Lag BaOmer. It's a special day. Itzumo shel yom hachaper. The power of the day is unbelievable. It's Reb Shimon's simcha. And he wants everyone to be happy. So the Sfarim say that when you daven, Reb Shimon's going to want to get your tefillos answered. He's going to push him in. Because he wants you to be happy at his simcha. It's like if there's a niyam at a wedding, you want to just make them happy. Give them what they need. Yalla. You don't want anyone to be upset at your chasana. Shimon, so that's why it's a special day of tefillah for anything. But daven for it. Daven for closeness. Daven for Reb Shimon means. That's what we have the schus to do. Get lost amongst these Jews and want it. And if you want it, then you too will become a Talmud of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm excited to dance with everybody there.
Whoa. Okay. Hey. Whoa.